Welcome back to the Aggie Morning Word Podcast, KBLULP 92.3. I'm Morgan.
And I'm Brad Robinson.
And it was fun. We just had Andreas Wiesman in the studio. He's with the Aviation Technology Program. And he's a cool guy. Now we have, like, you know, this day in history and all that stuff. So the word of the day is mumsimious, which is adherence to or persistent to erroneous use of language.
I like that.
I know.
Mumsimious. Mumsimious adherence. Okay, yeah, I like that.
Oh, sorry. The weather is 41 degrees now. It's supposed to get up to 51 degrees. The low is 36, and there's a 65% chance of rain.
So make sure you're prepared.
Make sure you're prepared. The air quality is beautiful. This day in history, March Madness is born. The University of Oregon defends Ohio State. Yeah, Ohio. I don't know why I said Ohio.
Ohio State.
In 1939, so it was a 46-3 on this day in 1939 to win the first ever NCAA men's basketball tournament. The Final Four, as the tournament became known, has grown exponentially in size and popularity since 1993. By 2005, most college basketball teams have become the most popular sporting event among gamblers, just after the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
It's more popular than the Super Bowl?
No, just after the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's incredible, though. That's really... Yeah, I had no idea.
Anyway, so we are going to move on to some breaking news. Seven high school students and a teacher were killed after being caught in an avalanche at the Japanese ski resort on Monday. The 40 people were hurt, including two who sustained serious injuries. Poor weather conditions initially hampered the efforts by rescue crews to reach the Nasu Osin family ski area, a small ski slope on the side of Mount Nasu, which is about 200 kilometers north of North Tokyo. Students were a part of a mountaineering club and had reportedly been taking part in a wall climbing event. So,
wow. And in Sydney, Australia, there is a Category 4 storm named Cyclone Debbie that is expected to hit the Queensland coast early Tuesday and could intensify to a Category 5 storm. So just to put this in context, in Australia, a Category 4 storm on the Australian scale entails gusts of more than 140 miles per hour. So that's very intense, and a powerful cyclone barrels towards the northeastern coast of Australia on Monday, and so a lot of people are going to have to leave their homes right now, and ferry and train services are halted.
So let's jump to Russia. The biggest anti-government demonstration in years broke out in Russia, and that all started after Alexei Navalny, a major critic of Russian President Putin, alleged that the Russian's Prime Minister, Dmitry Medvedev, has been calling the Wolf of Wall Street. After some digging into public documents, Navalny alleged that Prime Minister bribed his way into his owning a bunch of mansions, yachts, and vineyards. That inspired protests in the city across the country. The government says these protests weren't authorized, which can apparently get you arrested in Russia. Hundreds of people were held, including Navalny. Side note, Putin has been in power for almost 2 decades, and Navalny is trying to run against him in next year's election.
Wow. And in other Moscow versus everyone else news, last week a former Russian lawmaker known for speaking out against the Russian government and was killed in Ukraine. Ukraine says it has evidence that a Russian agent did it. But, of course, as you might imagine, Russia is denying all of these charges. But to be clear, this person was shot in a public square in broad daylight.
Daylight, yeah. Yesterday, Hong Kong had an election and named a new leader, except Hong Kong citizens didn't vote for her. The community elects the city's leader. Only about 1,200 people got a say in who they chose. Just as a reminder, Hong Kong is a former British colony that transferred to China in the 90s. As a part of that deal, Hong Kong was supposed to be able to do its own thing for a while without China butting in. Turns out China's not on board and wants more control, especially when it comes to elections. So it stacked the committee that elects Hong Kong's leaders with pro-China voters. Back in 2014, the mass month-long protests broke out in response, and nothing has changed in the last 3 years. Fast forward to now, and the committee put a woman in charge who is, coincidentally, pro-China.
Oh, imagine that.
Hong Kong is not impressed. The new leader is promising to heal the divide, already not helping. Today, Hong Kong police told some 2014 protester organizers that they're going to be charged.
Okay. So what people are watching this week, Mosul. Over the weekend, the U.S. military said it's investigating a recent airstrike it carried out in Iraq that may have killed hundreds of civilians. For years, the U.S. has been leading a coalition against ISIS in places like Iraq and Syria. Mosul is ISIS's last major stronghold in Iraq. In recent months, Iraqi troops launched an offensive to take the city back with U.S. help. Earlier this month, the U.S. led an airstrike there that residents say also killed about 200 civilians. This came after recent U.S.-led airstrikes in Syria also allegedly killed civilians. The Pentagon has rules for making sure airstrikes don't put too many civilians' life at risk, gratefully, but President Trump has asked the military to look into loosening those rules. Apparently, there haven't been any policy changes up to now. The Mosul incident could be the worst U.S.-linked civilian death toll in Iraq for years.
If you're just joining us, this is the Aggie Morning Word podcast on Aggie Radio, which is KBLU LP 92.3, Logan, Utah. Jumping into some South Korean news, South Korea prosecutors pushed to arrest their ex-leader. The move comes after Park Geun-hye was questioned over suspicions that she colluded with a jail confidant to extort from companies and other wrongdoings.
So something kind of interesting happening in Cuba. There is a boom of evangelical churches in so the building of churches conflicts with a communist government that recognizes freedom of religion, but does not recognize the right to erect houses of worship.
Let's talk about some Utah politics. Last week, the House GOP leaders pulled the plug on the plan to replace Obamacare, and now the party is doing some soul searching.
Things didn't work out for them.
Nope. This month, GOP leaders introed their replacement plan. Dems weren't down with it. Neither were a lot of GOP lawmakers. Some felt that the bill didn't go far enough to repeal Obamacare. Others worried it would leave too many people without health care. President Trump said, better get on board, and call for the House to vote on it on Friday. Anyway, House Speaker Paul Ryan was forced to pull the bill after it was clear it wouldn't pass. The loudest nope came from the House Freedom Caucus. What's that? A group of about 36 people from the most conservative House Republicans. They wanted to axe parts of the new plan, including a requirement that insurers cover essential health benefits. Trump and Ryan tried to compromise, but the caucus said, not good enough. So what's happening now is Obamacare stays put and the GOP is moving to the next political battle, the federal spending bill. Congress needs to okay one by the end of the month or the U.S. government shuts down. Yep, it's this time again. And since the GOP was divided on healthcare, leaders have to work with the Dems to avoid the worst-case scenario. This is the first big policy test for Donald Trump and the GOP Congress. Now, after 7 years of pushing to replace Obamacare, Republicans seem to be moving on.
And Trump is seeking to eliminate the NEA, or the National Endowment for the Arts. It actually happens to be a diverse and decentralized agency. So a big part of its budget is actually distributed to state and local organizations. Are organizations like UPR included, like, in this? Public radio stations? Do you know?
They might be, but I think it's under a different grant. Or multiple grants. The EP, according to the EP, the bathroom bill is costly for North Carolina. The law limiting... LGBT prosecutions will cost the state more than $3.75 billion in a lost businesses over a dozen years, the EP analysis finds.
Who will run new innovation office? Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, will lead a division that will seek to overhaul government functions using ideas from the business sector. And this isn't nepotism at all. Don't worry.
Special immigration visa holders are being held up at the border. The United States issues special immigration visas, SIVs, to aid individuals in the Iraq and Afghanistan who have helped the U.S. government advance its interest in countries where they can be a liability. Despite these individuals putting themselves at risk, many of them are being by security officials
held.
I knew there was something I missed.
I left that out. That was totally my fault.
Hey, are you trying to thwart me? Okay, so these people are being held by security officials when they arrive in the United States. Them and their families.
Let me take it from here. I wrote it and I expected to tell the story, but apparently I'm doing a pretty bad job. So they're being held up along with their families, and oftentimes their only recourse has been getting emergency court orders. Of course, the the Border Control Agency, I can't think of their name right now. They say that no policy. No, that's immigration enforcement. But no, there's the CBD.
I don't know.
Yeah. But they said they haven't made any changes to their policy. But researchers have said, according to NPR, that they've seen an uptick in these kind of incidents since President Trump issued his Muslim ban.
In other news, I was going to talk about
Democrat Jenny Wilson.
Yeah, so this, we're going to Utah News. Jenny Wilson says she's taking a hard look at challenging Senator Orrin Hatch's seat in 2018.
Apparently, there was a bit of a misunderstanding between Governor Gary Herbert and legislative Republicans over a bill that could cut requirements to place Democrats on state boards and commissions, but Herbert decided to veto the bill last week.
Stats guru Nate Silver suggests Utah could become a blue state in the future. However, I'm highly skeptical because, you know, election results.
Here's what I think. Nate Silver really has lost it. Honestly. I'm being totally serious. He did a terrible job with the prediction of this past election. He did better than a lot of other people, but he still didn't do well with those predictions. And he also said that it was possible that Utah would vote for Hillary over Donald Trump, and he was totally wrong about that. And so I think he just fundamentally misunderstands Utah and Utah's culture.
Senator Orrin Hatch says Democrats treated Supreme Court nominee Judge Neil Gorsuch shabbily during his confirmation hearings last week. First Lady Melania Trump is reportedly miserable in her new role with her husband being president.
Oh, it's according to New York Post.
Conservative fire band Tommy Lauren was permanently banned from the Blaze. She was banned because of Lauren's show was suspended for a week after she declared during an appearance on The View that she's pro-choice, saying, quote, I am someone that's for limited government, so I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say that I'm for limited government, but I think the government should decide what women should do with their own bodies. This turned into a war of words with Beck, who also called her a hypocrite. So, they canceled her.
Wow, that's pretty... I don't know, that seems like a little much.
So let's jump to England. Politician calls for access to Westminster's attackers of his WhatsApp messages. British Home Secretary Amber Rudd wants a WhatsApp to give intelligence agencies access to the encrypted messages following last week's Westminster attack, which left 4 dead. Rudd appeared on the BBC's Andrew Marr show, where she also called for social media giants to ensure that they don't provide a secret place for terrorists to communicate with each other. This is not the first time governments have taken the issue with the tech companies over access to the encrypted content. Hillary Clinton urged Silicon Valley to cooperate with the government's fight against terrorism in 2015. The FBI demanded the Apple give access to San Bernardino shooter Syed Farouk's iPhone 5C last February. And in March, WhatsApp was the center of a dispute with the Department of Justice over encrypted messages.
So we just have one national story that isn't really politics. And apparently there was deadly nightclub shooting. So the police are searching for suspects, and it happened in Cincinnati, Ohio. They say that several men got into a dispute inside the crowded Cameo Club, and that escalated eventually into gunfire.
In other news, let's talk about the Final Four. What to say when you get the most likes ever? You're making history. Same for these March Madness teams. Number 7, South Carolina, and number 1, Gonzaga,
yeah.
Are headed for the Final Four for the first time ever. And number 3, Oregon, is to be in the Final Four for the first time in decades. Last year, runner-up was North Carolina. Well, he will also be there. I don't know why he's a he. The
women's yeah, tourney that's totally fine.
Is getting mad, too. Today, number 10, Oregon, goes up against number 1, UConn, also known as the team that beat more than 100 games in a row and counting. Swoosh. Hey, so I have a story to tell you guys.
Yeah, what's going on?
Last week, I showed up to court to cover the Desiree Turner case, and I looked classy.
Right.
Yeah,
you always look classy.
I was wearing a pencil skirt, and I was wearing a tank top, I guess you could say, but it was like a classy tank top, like really like thick straps and like really high cut.
It wasn't a spaghetti strap.
Not yet. Not spaghetti strap at all. Like, you could wear it, like Tommy Lauren would wear it on her show. It, you know, classy. What happened was I was asked to leave the courtroom because my arms were showing, and that was inappropriate.
Your shoulders were showing.
My shoulders were showing.
You should be clear. People understand. Those are porn shoulders. You know that, right?
And I, like, was offended, and I was like, what? And I was asked to leave, so I had to go and grab a jacket. I mean, I was cold anyway, but the point is, I was asked to leave. I was doing my job, which was covering this court case, right? And I was limited from doing my job because I had to leave and go get a jacket. So, apparently, I'm not the only one being getting in trouble for modesty
issues. Right? Yeah.
United Airlines tried to bar girls from a flight for wearing leggings. On a flight from Denver to Minneapolis early Sunday morning, Shannon Watts observed a United Airlines gate agent refused to allow 2 young girls on the plane because they were wearing leggings. Watts took a Twitter and immediately documented the incident, decreeing that the apparent policy of the girls' clothing regarding the dress code enforcement was sexist and hypocritical. And so Watts objected to the company's policy, saying that it sexualizes young girls who are simply wearing comfortable clothing. And it also questioned if boys were subject to the same dress code.
I don't know. I don't want to even think about that.
The incident,
I did ballet. I know what it looks like when men wear those kind of things.
The incident unfolded in real time on Twitter. United's own social media account came to chime in, but the airline's response seemed to only stir the pot and trigger more anger. And that was United. They said United shall have the right to refuse passengers who are not properly clothed via our contract of carriage. So amid reactions and questions and jokes and the like, what are all expected when a social media public relations disaster unfolds, one fact seemed to be getting a lot of shuffle. The family members flying on United, according to the airline's social media account, were United past travelers, which meant it refers to an employee standby status that meant that they are subject to a separate form of rules and guidelines, including the airline's dress code.
I'm sure that's going to look great, and I'm sure the PR people are really happy at them for doing that, because I'm sure they're going to have a headache.
Yeah.
It's Delta's really going to, and a few other airlines are probably going to enjoy this scandal.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. But hey, Mark, there's something exciting. So, you know what I hate to do?
Wake up on a Monday.
I'm okay waking up on Monday.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't go to bed on time last night, so I'm really tired. But no, I hate going to the mailbox to find out there's nothing exciting in the mailbox.
Yeah.
So, as it turns out, there is a new USPS service that gives you a peek into your mailbox before you get home.
That's amazing. okay, I love tracking packages. Like, I will check, like, once or twice a day and be like, is it here yet? Like, how close is that package? So now I can know for sure. Because sometimes I have to ask, like, roommates if my package has arrived.
And sometimes I'm slow at checking the mail because it just, oh, me da pereza, as they say. It makes me feel I don't want to think about it. Because, hey, this is a public service announcement. Please change your please change your address.
Oh my
gosh. Before you move, and make sure all of those little organizations that send you letters know where you've moved, because we get so many of your letters, people.
So many. If you're missing like 1,000 letters, come to us. We might have one of your letters.
Yeah, and we try to give them to the postal service, but they just give us back to us.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, hey, this isn't our health information. We've tried to talk with, and they just don't take it.
We get, tax information. We get, like, serious stuff. Medical bills.
Not that we open it, because that is a federal crime, but it's pretty clear that they're most likely tax information. And we just... Yeah, we don't know what to do with all these letters that we get.
I was going
to
say, change your email. Change your address, please. Yeah. Change your address. All right, I have some good news for you.
Yeah, what's that?
It's official. Samira Wiley and Lauren Morelli are married.
Who?
Samira Wiley was one of the stars of Orange is the New Black.
Oh,
she tied the knot with her longtime partner and... which is Lauren Morelli. And Lauren Morelli is actually one of the writers for the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's amazing. And they're so cute. They both have like the prettiest dresses. So I'm fangirling over here.
So do you want to talk about government overreach?
Yes.
In Nova Scotia, Canada?
Okay.
Well, if you get a vanity plate, you want to choose something that's important to you. And what's more important than your last name?
For the entire society.
For your license plate?
Yeah, people get stuff and I never know.
Oh, yeah, like, I can never figure it out.
It makes me mad. Like, I just, like, if I can't figure it out, I am, like, so angry with them.
More times than not, it just makes me go, yeah, you should keep your inside jokes on Facebook or whatever. It just seems like a big waste of time. But a man in Nova Scotia wanted to get a license plate with his last name.
That's the problem. That's a security issue.
Well, with his last name?
Yeah.
That's totally fine. But his last name is Grabher, like G-R-A-B-H-E-R. And so they decided that was inappropriate to put on his license plate. And so he's a little upset about that.
Yeah.
So government is overreaching in Nova Scotia. Saying you can't put your last name on your license plate.
This is an outrage.
Yeah, I know.
In other news, an Idaho motorist told local sheriff's department that a Bigfoot sighting caused her to crash her car last Wednesday night. According to Pullman Radio, the woman who was not identified told the Latah County Sheriff's Office that she saw a Sasquatch chasing a deer on a stretch of US 95 outside of Potlatch. Place is called Potlatch.
Wait, where was it? Where did this happen? Was this in Canada?
Yes, it's also in Canada.
Of course. Well, I kind of tuned out because I'm tired, but you mentioned a weird city name and it's obviously Canada.
Obviously Canada. She said the creature was shaggy, between 7 and 8 feet tall. The woman checked her mirrors to see the Bigfoot. As her eyes readjusted to the road, she hit the deer with her Subaru Forester, the newspaper said. Pullman Radio reported the woman continued driving, picked up her husband from work, and drove to the sheriff's office to report the incident. The officers did not find any evidence of Bigfoot on the scene of the crash. The radio station reported that the 50-year-old driver suffered a minor neck injury.
All right. So to close... if you don't have another story, I want to quiz you on a few weird... I just want to see if you've heard these weird Canadian city names, okay. Town names. There's a town named Nottawa because it's not Ottawa.
Really? Truly?
Yes. It's in Ontario.
Canadian.
Yeah. St. Louis du Ha-Ha, Quebec.
What's the one... It's like they're known for like their culinary skills.
Saskatchewan?
No.
I don't know.
There's one. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, Regina?
Yeah.
Yep. They have a... It's, and it is pronounced Regina. I'm totally serious. You talk to someone from Canada, from Saskatchewan, and you say, you know, you're from Regina, and they'll be offended. They'll say, no, it's Regina, and that's how it's pronounced. And they actually have a festival every year. I think it's called Taste of Regina. I don't know.
All right. Well, on that lovely note, thank you so much for listening to the Aggie Morning Word Podcast, KBLU LP 92.3. Come back tomorrow. Kat and Josh will take care of you.
You're listening to 92.3 KBLU LP, Logan, Utah.